Welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the Perek Yud Dalet, the 14th chapter of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. We're left in the middle of a battle since last time in which Yonatan assassinated a Philistine leader, catalyzing a tremendous battle build-up between the Philistines, who have 30,000 cavalry, several hundred chariots, and Israel, who have a diminishing army over here. So this is where we are left. And in and amongst this, we're going to just be trying to focus on the themes of initiative, and proactivity and reactivity, and how proactive a person should be in the absence of direct signs from God. So we start with this perek, and this is a really long perek. It's over 50 psukim long, double the regular size, and it has a lot of details, a lot of drama that goes on in this perek. We're going to try to move through this at a pretty swift rate. So the first thing that happens is that Yonatan now is not sufficiently happy with the state of affairs, and he goes and takes his arms bearer, and he slips away from the camp at night. In the meantime, Shaul is waiting with his people. They have 600 people, so the army is a mere 600 against tens of thousands of Philistines. Shaul and his fellows slip away. We're also told an interesting fact that the Kohen Gadol of the time is a person called Achia ben Achitov, who is with Shaul HaMelech. This is going to be important later on, because Achia is actually the name for Achimelech, who is going to is the same person as Achimelech, who later on is going to feature in Nov Ir HaKohanim. It's also interesting that he comes from, he's a son, who is the nephew of Ikavod. Ikavod was the child born to Pinchas on the day the Mishkan was destroyed. So just an interesting part of the story we'll have to come back to later on when we get to later program. Anyways, so Yonatan and his arms bearer go out to just the area above the Philistines. The Philistines are in the valley. They go to these two rocks which face one another, and they're famous enough, these rocks, they actually have names. One's called Botzetz and one's called Sene. And they cross over this area. And Yonatan says to his to the fellows with him, he says, look, we're gonna maybe we should attack them, and Hashem will do a miracle for us, because it doesn't make a difference how many people we are. If Hashem's with us, Hashem is with us. And his arms bearer says, let's go for it. If Hashem, I'm with you, if Hashem's with us. This is the opposite kind of perspective that Shaul had displayed last perek, where Shaul was worried when the people were diminishing, he hurried to do the carbon because he felt that smaller numbers would mean less of a victory. Yonatan is displaying the fact that two people versus tens of thousands makes no difference as long as Hashem's on your hand. So Yonatan proposes a specific sign where he says, what we do is we'll reveal ourselves from behind the rocks, and let's see what they say to us. If they say, come to us, then we'll go. And that shows us how Hashem is going to give us to them. But if they say, oh look, the Ivrim are coming out of their holes, then we're not going to do anything, okay? Because we're not going to follow up on that. So that's exactly what they do. And in fact, when they reveal themselves, the people, the Philistines say, come to us, and that's exactly what they do. They attack them, and it's a brief and fast attack in which they kill 20 people in a very short span of time. But the effect of the attack is not so much just those 20 victims, it's just the confusion and chaos that it creates. And Hashem creates more confusion than would necessarily be just from a natural perspective. And the camp really starts going into pandemonium, and people start attacking each other, feeling as if the Jews are attacking, the Israelites are attacking from all sides, and this turns into a continuing chaos among the Philistine camp. In the meantime, from across the other side, Shaul is busy noticing that something is strange in the Philistine camp. So he turns to the Kohen Achia and he says, quickly, bring the Aaron. Let's see what's going on here. But as Shaul's watching this chaos erupting, he realizes the time now is to act and not to ask. And he says, take your hand back. Don't worry. Let's not get the Aaron. Let's go into battle. And he gathers the people. He pulls everybody together and starts attacking the Philistines, who are already in disarray and in chaos. Against whom? Against themselves, because they think that there's an entire army against them. In the meantime, there's a whole bunch of Israelites who are hiding in the caves. Remember, those are the people who are leaving the battle in fear. They all now come out of their caves because they see that the battle has turned. And there's a whole group of people called Ivrim, which these are either mercenaries or they might have been Jews, Israelites who were not necessarily going to take a side, but now that they see that it's winning, they join, and everybody jumps out into battle, and they start and they start the battle. In the middle of this battle, Which is one of these miraculous battles where Hashem is miraculously saving Israel. Shaul makes a statement, a very strange statement, and that is he places a curse on anybody who eats any bread till evening. Why is he doing this? It sounds like the reason why he wants to do this is he wants them to push on in their battle, not just to a success in reprisal, but actually a real resounding victory to destroy their enemy. So he doesn't want anybody to be involved in anything else except pursuing them. So in the meantime, while pursuit is up and they are chasing these Philistines, they pass through what's called a Ya'ar Dvash, a forest of honey, whether this be cane sugar, whether this be bee honey. There's a debate between the Mepharshim, but nonetheless, there's honey surrounding them everywhere, but nobody could eat. In the meantime, Yonatan is also in pursuit of everybody, and he also passes through the same forest, and he also sees the honey, and he hasn't eaten all day, so he takes his cane, dips it in the honey, and he tastes it. Meanwhile, all the Israelites who are around Yonatan says, "Oy, oy, oy, Yonatan, you ate. Your father made this curse. Your father made this curse not to eat honey." And Yonatan responds, "Well, my father blocked up Israel. My father stopped Israel from doing what they should be able to do, because look how invigorated I am from just having this honey. If everybody had been able to eat, they would have been able to chase their enemies even faster." So Yonatan publicly disengages himself with his father's curse, that he didn't feel was appropriate. In the meantime, what happens is everybody gets to the camp that evening, and the people are very, very hungry. And they take the flocks and cattle, and they shecht them. And it says that they ate al adam, that they ate it on the blood, which means the Mepharshim debate, but it means that they could have been eating it before Zerika, before the blood was put on the Mizbech, or they ate a mother and a child, cattle, or sheep on the same day. But they were obviously very, very hungry and they were eating. And Shaul hears about this and gets very upset. And he says to them, you're all sinning to Hashem. And it's interesting, even though he's accusing them of sinning to Hashem, the reason why they are in such a place is because he placed them in such a position of not being able to eat all day that they're in this desperate situation at the end of the day after a day of battle. In the meantime, he proposes that he's going to chase them all night. He says, "Guys, we're getting up. We're going to chase them all night. That's enough of this after the meal." And he's about to go out when Achia, who's the Kohen, says, "Shaul, don't you think we should ask Hashem?" Doesn't contradict him directly, but he says, "You know, Shaul, maybe we should ask Hashem." And they ask the Urim V'Tumim, "Should we go on?" The Urim V'Tumim don't answer Shaul. The Urim V'Tumim keep Shaul in suspense, and he realizes that something is wrong. He realizes that something's not good. So he says, "You know what? You know what we should do is we need to do a goral. We need to need to see what's wrong here." So they do a goral and a lottery, and it turns out that Shaul and his son Yonatan were captured in this goral, meaning they were isolated. And so Shaul says, "What's going on over here? The lottery falls in Yonatan more than Shaul." And he says, "What do you do, Yonatan?" Yonatan explains that he tasted honey against the curse of his father, even though he didn't know. So Shaul says, in the most terrible fashion, he says, "You know what, Yonatan, most Tomus, Yonatan, you're going to have to die. Even though you're the savior of this battle, you're going to have to die. You broke the curse. You went against my curse, even though you didn't know about it." And at this point in time, there's almost like a civil disobedience where everybody joins together and says the famous pasuk, which is said on Motzei Shabbos, "Vayomer Omer Shaul." Everybody says to Shaul, "Hayonatan Yamus Asher Asah Yeshua Gadol HaZoseh BeYisrael." How can you let Yonatan, who is the savior and hero of this victory, who was clearly divinely supported, die? It's chalila that he should even die. And they vayiftu ha'ames Yonatan, and they redeem him. Somehow they break that neder, they break that curse that was placed on Yonatan, and he was redeemed, and they managed to do a pretty strong reprisal against the Philistines. Anyway, the Perek closes talking about the rest of the family of Shaul, about his children Yonatan, Yishvi, Malkishua, and we talk about his daughters Meirav and Michal, and we talk about his Achinoam, his wife, and his Avner, who is his his uncle, who is his general, and it talks about how this war ended on a strong note. So it's a very, very long parak, lots of things to think about. One thing that you see, which is very fascinating, is that both Yonatan and Shaul take initiative. So Yonatan takes initiative not only in killing the Philistine governor, but also by jumping into battle. Clearly, Yonatan is guided by God, and in fact, he's supported by God because in his decision-making, he is successful. This war is totally successful as a result of Yonatan's superhuman efforts to get here. But it's interesting that Shaul also takes initiative. Shaul brings the korban early, and that wasn't the right initiative. Shaul tries to push them to go to battle further, and he puts this curse on them. And it turns out that the people aren't able to stand up to the curse, and they eat their oichel al adam. They eat their korbanos early, and his curse is placed in such a way that it affects his son, and he almost has to lose his son if the people didn't intercede. So you see, there's a lot of difference between people taking initiatives over here, and when it is correct, when it is not correct, when it is appropriate, when it is not appropriate. Very, very complex complex thing to think about over here. He's obviously well guided, but nonetheless, it seems to be that it's placed in the wrong way. One thing which is also interesting is when trying to find the perpetrator over here, Shaul doesn't seem to be aware of the fact that he is to blame for it. Meaning to say, when he's getting upset with the people for shechting their korbanos in a way which is inappropriate, when he gets upset with Yonatan, he isn't looking inwards that maybe the reason why these two things happened, that the people were rushed or that Yonatan got into the situation, was because he made a ban which was too hard, harsh for the people. He doesn't have that introspection, which is why Achia is trying to say to him, you know, Shaul, maybe we should ask the Urim v'Tumim, why the people have to redeem Yonatan. And we see a little bit of confusion over here. Well guided at the same time, a little bit mismatched in the applications. What we're going to do is we're going to follow through tomorrow on the next and last of this week, when we talk about the attack of Amalek and Shaul's reaction to that. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.